Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
This morning I want to talk and really preach from God's word, teach from God's word about getting answers to prayer. Getting answers to prayer. It's not really going to be something that you'll be standing on your chairs about, but it will be something that will change your world. So you may not have that kind of feel-good sensation. You might. But that's not the reason that God always brings his word. He brings his word so that he can direct us, so that he can actually equip us to be fruitful in our lives. Now, prayer is often called the Christian's breath. And it's almost like if we don't pray, we're really not alive. And God has been speaking to us, and this is the theme for the season for us as a church. If you're visiting today, I believe God has brought you for this message. And the theme is really to come awake to prayer. And to wake up to prayer. Because prayer has the possibility of sending God's answers and God's provision into everything you pray about. Prayer can cause a nation to awaken to God. God promises that if we pray, humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, he will hear and he will heal our land. And so, the world around us, and if we could be more kind of specific, the city and the villages around us, the people around us, they will receive a healing which is salvation if we pray. And the condition, the promise is God will heal the land. The condition is if we pray. And so prayer, we have such a need of prayer. And I believe God wants to awaken it in a fresh way to all of us. You may be a faithful prayer like that lady we met this week. But God still wants to awaken you to fresh things and something fresh and exciting in your vision for prayer. You may be lazy and may actually not be praying currently. And God wants to wake you up. Because if you're asleep, you can't affect change in any situation. You can't hear, you can't see, and the devil can come in and take all the stuff that God has intended is yours. And so being awake in prayer is one of the most important things for a believer who wants to see, as Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so how do we get answers to prayer? Well, prayer is always based on the exceedingly great and precious promises of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, you can turn there. Verse 3, his divine power, this is the word. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, that's Jesus, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us very great and precious promises. He has given us great and precious promises. Say, he has given us. Okay, how about say, he has given me? So God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. Promises are always about what a person intends to do. So the promises of God always define what God intends to do. So if you don't know the promises, you don't know what God intends. And if your prayer life is based on a whim or an idea, then it actually isn't based on God's backing of your prayer. That is why to pray effectively is to pray according to the great and precious promises of God, which are always and only found in His will, which is His Word. The Word of God reveals or speaks to us about what God intends to do. And God then says, you pray and I'll do it. Elijah, God spoke to him and said, I want to send rain. And Elijah heard the promise for the nation. He believed the promise. So faith is vital in prayer. Believing what God says is vital. But that isn't the end of it. Because Elijah didn't just hear and didn't just believe the promise. He actually went and turned to God while everybody else went off to wait for rain. Elijah prayed for rain. And so the promise, believed, spoken and declared, was not enough to see the rain come. And I put it to you that the promises of God, just believed and declared over your life, will at times require you to pray them into being. God has promised your family to be saved. If you believe it and declare it, then you're actually declaring the purpose of God for your family. God is not willing that anyone perish. God is not willing. It is not the will of God that any perish. That makes me smile. Because I love my family. And I'm not willing they perish. It's not my will they go to hell. I'm not willing that any of my friends or my neighbors or even my enemies. I wouldn't want hell for even an enemy. So God is not willing that any perish, but all come to a knowledge of truth. But then with that promise comes a believer on their knees, praying it into being. Prayer takes hold of everything God has promised and actually channels it into particular people's lives, into a particular family, or into a situation. It's like prayer just draws it down and brings God to work. Prayer actually moves God to work. Isn't that awesome? Prayer moves the hand of God. And so we see probably one of Satan's greatest strategies is to get you to stop praying. Because if prayer moves God, and if prayer brings about the promises, then prayerlessness will mean you won't get what God has said. And so it's just an encouragement today to say, come on, let's, as a people, wake up to this amazing privilege of praying. See, actually, prayer is so boring if you're praying out of your own kind of moany. If you're moaning in prayer, you won't get anything and you will be bored. You'll moan yourself into a wilderness because that's where moaning keeps you. And it will also be the most boring, tedious time of prayer. But if you lay hold of what God promises and you begin to say, Father, no word from you returns empty. Every word from you is full of power. It has power to accomplish. But you call me to pray and to ask until I see it come to pass. In John 15, let's look at John 15, verse 7. God send an awakening. But first, let's get praying. I was recently somewhere, and I saw so many backsliders, so many people who used to follow God, so many people who years ago had been on fire for God, who are nowhere today. Absolutely nowhere. And actually, God said to us, if you pray, I'll send an awakening. But it's if. And God is going to say the same thing to you, because it's not just down to the pastor, the whole church. Every member of the body is called to pray. It's a call on all of our lives. And it's probably the saddest thing, and probably the thing that we have most, the most power in, is prayer. And yet, we portray it as a weak and, oh gosh, I've got to pray thing. But if we really knew that the Word of God tells us the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Makes tremendous power. And so if this kind of praying makes power available, then I want to key in to that kind of praying. Because I don't want to see a lazy church asleep, including myself, when a world around us is dying, where backsliders are nowhere, and where actually the church are not concerned with the things that concern God and His kingdom. Because the concern of God is for the lost and for those who are not living with Jesus Christ as Lord. Because the Word says, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? And there can be such a deception creep into the church that we're saved by grace. And yet the Word says, why do you call me Lord and live like the world? The will of God and the grace of God can be accessed through a prayer life of a humble believer. And so this is a desire in the heart of God that He wants to put into your heart that goes just beyond and way beyond a meeting and into a life given to pray what God wills into being. In John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, it's an incredible promise. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. We could say His words are His promises, couldn't we? If you remain and live and abide your, or live out your life in Christ. And my word actually gets moved from the words you're reading and into your heart. You know, that makes a world of difference. Because the word read needs to become the word sown. Like seed into the soil of your heart. So Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now look at this incredible promise. You can ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. You see, it's so great, we kind of are not moved by it anymore. We kind of like, well, you know. But God says, He said to Elijah, if you believe I'm going to change the whole nation, and you pray until the time when you start to see it happening, I'm going to change the nation. It will come into being for you. Elijah, abide in me and my word abide in you. You will ask whatever you desire, which when the word is living in your heart, it's like the desire of God gets transported into your heart. When the promise is in your heart for your family, for your village, for your community, for the church of Jesus Christ, it's like your heart is filled with passion for the heart of God and the will of God. And Jesus says, in that condition, ask whatever you desire, and it will come. It will come into being. It will be given. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome promises. You see, prayer is able to turn sorrow to joy. Able to turn empty to full. Defeat to victory. Barren to fruitful. If we obey the condition of the promise. I mean, you could live your entire life on John 15:7 and see God change the world through you. If we obey the condition of the word, we will see the promise fulfilled. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Just another promise. Let's just keep looking at these great and precious promises. Exceedingly great and precious. For me, these prayer promises are exceedingly great. They're not exceedingly small. They're not invaluable. They are so valuable to me. And I pray the value of them will go up in your estimation today. So that you will value these promises like never before. Matthew 7, verse 7. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. I can't see might. I can't see won't. I can't see maybe. I can't see anything negative. Can anybody please stand up here and preach if you like, if you can see anything negative there? Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door. I don't know why you're looking for a job. Ask for one. Hello. He's the creator of all the universe. Ask and you will receive. So, this is incredible promises. Prayer is the means by which God's will and promises actually come into our experience on earth. God just doesn't want us to know the promises. He wants us to actually experience them. Isaac was promised to Abraham, but the promise was not to be a promise without him experiencing it. Abraham held Isaac. God wants you to hold your promise. And Isaac means laughter. And the fulfillment of every promise is, ah! Preaching to a converted crowd today. The fulfillment of every promise is, yes! And God wants you to hold your baby. Thank you, Jesus. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Prayer is not about length. I'm always astounded at the length of Jesus' prayers. He prayed a lot. But he didn't put everyone to sleep by going on and on. And on. It wasn't the length, it was the accuracy, the faith, and this kind of unashamed boldness Because when he stood before the tomb where Lazarus was, he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. That meant he prayed. Before he got to raise Lazarus, he prayed it into being. And he stood there and spoke, Lazarus, come out. So Jesus is saying here, that wasn't long. He didn't say, Father, I thank you, pray for me. I thank you that you are affected. Elijah did that. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm like, you know, Lazarus is going to stay there if you carry on like that. Because often, length actually just enforces unbelief. I know it in my own. If I go on and on, I'm actually not getting anywhere. And I say, I apologize, God. I basically need to come back to faith, to your word, and just to ask and keep on asking until I get it. Yeah? Just so keep on. The simplicity of the request. You see, prayer is always like laser. It's going to hit the goal. It's always going to be, it's not going to be like this umbrella thing. It's going to be like a laser sharp arrow that just hits the target. That is what I'm praying for. Jesus didn't say, Lord, one of these tombs, somewhere, somebody's going to come out. We'll just keep waving our arms until I see a little stone move. You see something happen. It was specific. He prayed for this miracle from about Lazarus was his name. It was his name. He knew his name when he prayed. You know, you pray by name. And you're kind of coming into the target. And you're saying, I'm asking for this person based on this promise. And I have that promise sown in my heart. I believe you're going to do it. And I'm going to pray like Elijah until I see this coming to pass. Thank you, Jesus. It's not about beads, rosary beads. It's not about candles. The early church didn't light one. It's not about being a religious environment. You don't have to be here with the worship. You can be in Sainsbury's driving. You can be anywhere and get an amazing miracle from God. It's not about repetition. Although sometimes we continue to pray the same thing. But I'm talking about repetition of just harping on and harping on and harping on. And even God's gone to sleep, although he doesn't. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. But sometimes I think, you know, it's like, no, but there's no movement. God is not moving. And we want a movement of God. Do we not want God to move? God isn't interested in our poetry. I've heard the best prayers with new believers. It's when we get a little bit stale around the edges. It's like doctrinally sound. I believe in doctrine, but I mean they're quoting every blimmin' last scripture about everything. They're just proving to you they know. And still God isn't moving. Because after all, that's why we're praying. Not for us to sound right, but to get results. So it's not about having that kind of, oh yes, I'm sure God will answer that. It sounded just about right. It's also, it's basically not about congratulating ourselves on our prayer life. Let's congratulate the Lord when we get the answer. Just praying isn't it, guys. Answers is. Oh, you can meet some people, they spend hours. Oh, I've had another hour in prayer, and you go, feel condemned, don't you? And they're like, oh, yes, I spent at least three. Jesus sometimes prayed all night. Please don't hear me. It's not all about having a sharp time of, ooh, arrow prayers. Jesus sometimes spent the whole night praying. But the point was that I don't believe it was this kind of religious attitude to prayer. He wanted to get results. And he always did. And God wants you to get results. He always wants you to get results. God is not playing make-believe. Oh, go on, feel better about the situation just for 30 years. He doesn't want to put a picture before you and say it's just a game. He wants to make it happen. Actually, there's a reason he wants it to happen. Turn to John chapter 14. Answered prayer. John 14. John 14. You're ahead of me. Verse 13. I will do whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Now here we see a kind of window into why God wants your prayers answered. He wants to bless you, but it doesn't go just to blessing you. He wants to be glorified. And that, he actually wants to show off who he is through answered prayer. God wants to glorify the name of Jesus and his will in your life through answering absolutely astounding promises and prayers. Thank you, Jesus. You see, answers are proof that God exists. They are proof that he loves. God loves, and he is love, and so he answers prayer. He loves me so much, he answered. Thank you, Lord. It's proof that he is love. And it's proof that he keeps his word. Thank you, Jesus. The word of the Lord will never, ever fail. But he does prove it by answering his promises and seeing them come to pass. Answers are a proof of real effective prayer. They're a proof of his power. When God answers supernaturally in a situation where man can do nothing, at that point, it's proof that he is all-powerful and he is almighty. So question, big question of the day for everybody here. Are your prayers answered? And if not, why not? Is that okay to ask that? Are your prayers answered? And if not, why not? Because we see that the promise is for each one of us to get answers. It is the will of God that we get answers. But if we're not seeing answers, let's go a bit deeper into the things of God and actually discover God's way to answers. Is that okay? We're just going to take a few minutes just kind of journeying through to a place where I believe today God wants to put his finger on why sometimes we don't get answers. It's not the only reason, but it's something that God wants to speak about today. In James 4, let's read there because I think it's very important we actually read the scripture. James chapter 4. This is a very down the line scripture. And I just love being corrected by God. Because I love being corrected by love. I don't like to be corrected by the devil. I want to be corrected by God and His truth because He loves me. Okay, now this whole James 4 is about actually God correcting His people. Where do fights and wars and jealousies come from you? They come from your own selfish desires. You know, it's talking about verse 2, you want something but don't get it. You kill and covet. You cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you don't ask God. But verse 3, let's come into, when you ask, you do not receive. Okay, so this is, prayers are not working here. Okay, they are asking, but they're not getting. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. So the word tells us here that actually answers come through the right motive. Now I would say we've just read in John 14 the right motive. And that motive is that the Father will be glorified. It's not the only motive. God actually wants you blessed. And so He wants us to be blessed in every way. But the blessing, if it turns selfish, will eventually destroy us. But the blessing in the heart that has the right motive will be able to keep in the right place what God has given and actually glorify God in the answer. Is that good? I thought it was... Is that clear? So the motive is vital. Sometimes we don't get what we want because we're asking for the wrong reason. You see, it's like if you see prayer like the train tracks. The rails are actually there in place to bring the train in and to reach the destiny. And so we could say that the train tracks are the will of God or the promises of God. And you could say we are the train. Okay? The destination is the answer. So the will of God are the rails. So I need to be aligned with the promise when I pray. On track. But I also need to bring my life on track. So that I can move with the will of God and the journey towards the answer. You see that? The Bible tells us that when we're praying, if our heart does not condemn us, we will receive. We will actually receive what we're asking for. And I think, you know, I'm absolutely sure in my own life, when my heart motive, I may know the promise, but my motive isn't on track. God works in my motive to bring me into line because He wants me to receive the promise. You see, a car, is that the right word? When it's off track, sitting by itself is absolutely useless. And so are you when you're not in the will of God. You're not going anywhere. There's no power in your life. You're weak. A train off track is weak, futile, meaningless. It means nothing. But when you put the train on track and the power of God comes into your life through the will of God, living in obedience to God, you will end up journeying towards the answer. So we can have a wrong motive. I don't want to bring a complication here, but I believe that God is speaking this to us today because if our motives are wrong, we will never enter into what God has promised. And so God wants to bring a solution so that we can come in. 1 John 3 verse 21. We'll just read the word because I don't know that you believed me. So I'm going to read the word because you believe the word. Don't you? Yes. It's not my word, it's His word. 1 John 3 verse 21. I love this. Dear friends. So this is an affectionate exchange of advice and of the word coming into people's hearts. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And we receive from him anything we ask. That's receiving answers, getting answers. Not just asking, but receiving. Because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Do you get that? Did you read it? I'm just trying to bring you into church to give you an MOT. So that you can actually, where it's going wrong, we can put it right. So that you can get tremendous answers to prayer. Is that all right? This is not for condemnation. You see, the devil condemns us with accusation. But your heart is where the Spirit dwells, the Holy Spirit. And if you feel this, I don't feel quite right, then you need to repent and get back to right heart, living and right, obeying God's commands for your life. And in that obedience, we can have confidence and we will receive what we ask for. People, in Psalm 65, it's an incredible scripture. In awesome deeds and righteousness, you answer us. In awesome deeds and righteousness, you answer us. So, it's not just with power, but God can only work where there's righteousness. Now, we know in Christ, righteousness is a gift. Hello? We're made righteous by faith. But we also know that when we are living in unrighteousness, we need to come and get right with God before we actually are living righteous. You understand that? And righteousness, you know, let me go back to the MOT. If my car goes in for an MOT and it fails, particularly on a point where it would be dangerous to drive, I'm glad it failed. I'm not glad I've got to pay a bill, but I'm glad that one day I'm not driving down the motorway and the wheel drops off. And I won't be killed and somebody else with me. So righteousness, if somebody isn't living right, they need to be living right. We have certain laws in the land. If people don't obey them, they are living in unrighteousness. And so we're all happy that the test proved that you weren't right. So that we don't have car wrecks all over the roads. I can't remember, I think somebody here once said that when somebody failed their test, they said, well, great if they're not good enough to be on the roads. Not always a tragedy they didn't pass. Sometimes it's like people don't have the right mindset about answered prayer. And they pray where there's unrighteousness. They fiddle their taxes. And they say, God, answer the promise. God does not work where there's unrighteousness. It's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. It's good preaching this morning. But what would be good if you came into the power of prayer and get the answers by tweaking those things and getting the things mended in your heart so that you can actually come on track and see a powerful Christian life and see the promises become a reality. You actually end up holding your Isaac and are filled with joy. Amen. That's the goal. Now, let's just finish with Hannah, because let's turn over there. In Samuel. I just thought it was going to be a slight teach, but it's not for me. I don't know what it's like for you, but for me it's got the passion of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit in this word. 1 Samuel chapter 1. To awaken the church to pray. Awake and pray. Wake up to prayer. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You probably know the story with Hannah. I'm not really going to go into all the details. You can look at it later in 1 Samuel chapter 1. But Hannah and her husband and family had gone up to worship the Lord. And they were in the house of God, Shiloh at the time. And they were faithful people. And, you know, I think what gets my spirit is when faithful people don't get answers. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's like this is not right. And it's true. It's not right. Because God wants to answer the prayer of his faithful people. Thank you, Jesus. So Hannah is faithfully worshiping the Lord. She's in the corporate body. She's in the worship life of the nation, which is like in the church today. And she's going up with her family to worship, but she's sad. Why is she sad? Because she's barren. She couldn't have a child. And we could say, as we look at the situation today, the barrenness, we could say very clearly, is not the will of God. Because God does not want people to be barren in any area of their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Because he's good. You need to be convinced of that. God is not wanting anybody to live barren in any area of their life. So this barrenness, it's not only not the will of God, but it's also making her very sad. It's producing a sadness in her. And you know, when you want something so much, it can actually drive you one of two ways. It can drive you to the Lord or away. And at that point, I counsel you, I know I'm speaking by the Spirit, I counsel you to run to God. Because he's good and he can change it. She didn't get angry, resentful and run away from God and say, well, this Christian life doesn't work, I am not playing anymore. She ran to the Lord. And actually, after they finished eating and drinking, and actually in all of this sadness, there was a member of the family who was provoking her constantly. I've got kids, you haven't. And it's just like the enemy. You know, wherever there's barrenness, the enemy comes in to make it a meal of it. You know what I mean? He tries to make you feel even worse. You know, and it can produce also a wrong attitude in your heart. That attitude can derail you from your answer. You can get bitter and unforgiving and get like that train off track. But before we pray, the condition is forgive and get your heart motive right. That's good. And so the enemy was involved in beating her up, making it look worse and sounding worse. Hannah has got this burden, actually, that is right. It's a right burden to want, because it is the will of God. So she goes up, leaves the place of eating, she goes up to pray, and look at what she says in verse 10. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. You know, you can have all these things in your heart, but they need to come out before God. Just let the burden of the situation come out. She prayed. She prayed it out. And as she's praying it out, she prays something here that I just believe God is wanting us to home in on. She made a vow. What's a vow? A promise. So God promises, and we can promise. You do know that. You can promise God stuff. Hello? I made a promise when I was 27 to serve the Lord. I'm keeping that promise. By the grace of God, but I intend to keep it all the days of my life. I intend. I said, I will follow you. That's a vow. That is a vow, and I'm sticking by it. By the grace of God, I will follow. So Hannah made a vow. This was her vow. I think it's awesome. Lord God Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me. Do not forget your servant, but give her a son. She's asking. She's not just saying how bad it is. She's saying, I want a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So in this prayer, there is a request, but there's also we seeing right into her motive. Hannah had prayed, I would think, for years. Have you ever prayed for years for something and never got it? But suddenly, God had worked so much in her motive that her motive was going to glorify God. I want my answer, but I equally want you to be glorified. And I dedicate this child to you. And when he was weaned, it says, Hannah took him up to the Lord, and she said to Eli the priest, I prayed for him. His name's Samuel, because it means God heard. Thank you, Jesus. Samuel was the answer. Samuel was an answer to prayer. Samuel was the answer for Hannah, but was also the answer for God to show his glory in the nation. And it doesn't matter how bad you feel as long as you're still praying, guys. It doesn't matter how bad it gets, we can always get an answer. Thank you, Jesus. And God is testing the motive. Sometimes we don't receive because we don't ask right. We just want the answer for us. But God is saying, change your motive. Let me work in your heart to purify your motives. So that when you're rich, you don't have any problem channeling your money the way I want it to go. It always matters when you're poor what you do with your money. Actually, when you have nothing, it matters what you do. So many people make promises when they're millionaires. And actually God is saying, I see the motive of your heart. I love you. But I know that I can't trust you yet. Until your motive is in line with mine. Get the train on track and you'll reach the destination. Praise the Lord. She received a son and she dedicated that son to the Lord. I'm going to finish with another testimony. This week I had a text from friends in Italy. And this couple that we've known for years are actually she's the daughter of good friends of ours. Married, great couple. 5 years into their marriage, they couldn't have kids. There was just no way that they could have children. And about 5 years into knowing them, we knew them just about when they were married, they got saved. It was wonderful. They both came on track with God. And then a few more years went by, and they went through this journey of, you know, we're praying God wants us to have a child, but we're not sure, into a conviction about the promise. They came to faith that God wanted them to have a child. And there was a day, actually, the last few times, one time we went to minister out there, we actually laid hands on her. And within a year, she gave birth to a son. But in the last phases of this desire and prayer for a son, all they would ever talk to us about was, when he comes, we've dedicated him before he's even conceived to the Lord. We know that he will serve the Lord. And we know that it is a privilege for us to actually caretake this child for God. I had the text this week, and this guy, how old is he, four? Three. 3 years old now. I mean, he's got the curliest, reddest hair. I mean, in Italy as well, it's a shock. You see a redhead, it's like, whoa! Are they really your parents? You know, it's like, goodness me. Curliest, reddest hair, and he's a real character. But they sent me a text this week, and his name's Davide, which is David. Davide said to his mum this week, when I'm big, 3-year-old, I want to work for Jesus with Judith. But I just thought, the process, the journey. Should we look at the journey? It was 10 years. They got saved. They came on track. Their motives, they got sold out. It, you know, this son, if you give us a child, it will be for your glory. And already this child has such a mark of God. I know he's called to the ministry. I absolutely have no question about what he's going to do. He will change Italy. I know he will. Because I know he's like Samuel. Now that's the kind of answers God wants for you. The Samuels that changes not just your life, but everybody else's. Because it's got a touch of God on it. Thank you, Lord. So prayer that gets answers is all to do with the promises of God, but also the heart motive. Should we stand? I know it's been a long time this morning preaching, but the Holy Spirit kept me going. And I know it's bank holiday, so you've got Monday. So we're going to spend another hour. No. I just, you know, if I could say in the Spirit over all of you who are in Christ here, who are believers, every promise is yes. And for those of you who have given up, God is saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Just continue to pray and stand in a place where you're saying, Lord, I'm going to be like Elijah. I've believed the promise, but I'm going to pray it into being. I'm going to make sure that my heart is right. So can we just pray together and just ask the Holy Spirit? We just have just a short time of dealing in honesty with the Lord about our prayer life. And then we're going to take communion together. Thank you, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.